B-Pod Studios.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, into a special edition of Checkpoint Daily, the Robbie and Weirdbeard Show. Today, we're going to be talking about Twitch finally starting to crack down on gambling, but is it enough? And could your favorite Grand Theft Auto games be coming to the Switch? Finally, Warzone may finally be coming out with their anti-cheat, but is it too little too late? And of course, since we're all alone, mom and dad aren't here, we're going to be talking Apex Legends. But there's also a bigger discussion here about how new heroes are added to games, and do they always need to be so overpowered? That's coming up today on Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news, Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome in and thanks for joining us. No Norris today, no Chad today. I am your host, Robbie Landis, and along with me, as always, my stalwart sidekick and cohort, Whitebeard, Weirdbeard.
I'll take Whitebeard. I mean, like, I've definitely been called worse things in my life, so, you know, the jokes about the white in my beard just kind of roll off.
I feel like
my
that's
back.
Your pirate name, right? Whitebeard?
Well, because there's three colors. I have red, like brown, and white. I was
Neapolitan beard?
In high school, some people would call me Captain Tribeard. Tribeard's kind of dope.
That's,
I feel
that's
like
not too bad.
I could take over an island as
that's not
Tribeard.
Too bad. That's not too bad. So, you and I had an interesting Thursday night.
Yo, absolutely.
You want to start? You want me to start?
You can go. You can
okay.
Go.
So my sister was in the one of my sisters was in the hospital for a reason I'm not going to go too into because this is a video game podcast. We still want to have fun here. But in being there, she had to be tested for a multitude of things, and it turns out she has COVID.
Yeah, I mean,
guess who the one person on my mom's side of the family who refuses to get vaccinated is?
Who could it be?
It's my sister, and guess who she hangs out with literally every day? My immediate family.
Yeah,
get vaccinated, everyone.
We're I think it's interesting that we're finally at the point to where sentiment has gone out the window for people who won't get vaxxed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's always people who are upset about it. But in the beginning, I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, okay, you know, they'll come around. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. And now with cases skyrocketing again.
Delta variant.
Yeah, I think it's people are just fed up with it and are like turning on the anti-vaxxers. Yep.
So you want to tell us about your night? What happened at your place?
Oh, yo. So I haven't had power for 2 days now.
That's the worst.
Well, no, what's worst is living with a 10-year-old who's afraid of the dark. So, like, it's been miserable to where I don't get, like, normally my girlfriend and I sleep in the same bed. I haven't done that in 2 nights because every time my girlfriend gets up to go to bed, Bailey's just started crying. Just be like, oh, that's scary. And have you ever tried to reason with a kid about what's scary about the dark?
No, because I don't have a child.
Yeah, like,
for reasons such as this.
Like, I'm just like, okay, but what are you scared of? And she'd be like, I don't know.
Weirdbeard.
Ghosts?
Weirdbeard. Fear isn't rational.
No, but like, I walk her through it. I'm like, okay, ghosts. So why would turning out a light scare a ghost away?
What, that's not the way you do it. Now she's going to be afraid of the light, too.
She's just like, well, and then not only do we have no power, but then like 6 inches of water in my basement.
Oh, buddy.
And there's nothing worse than having like a shitty day going home. And I was like, you know what? I got to grab something out of the basement.
Shittiest day so far.
And I just I go down the stairs and like the smell starts to hit me and I go, oh, there's something. And then you just see like all your stuff floating like on an open sea with Captain Tribeard just down
worst.
In the basement.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, no, it's good. Like, I feel bad because like I just convinced my girlfriend to move down there for a craft room. So she she had just moved all of her shit down there maybe like a month and a half ago. My stuff's all fine. I get the office on the second floor. So if that floods, like, we're more than
I think a
toast.
Few people probably have some problems at that point. Yeah, yeah.
And you want to know the most frustrating thing? The people across the street all have power. The power stops on
just right where you are.
My side of the freaking street.
Well, look, I think that first of all, misery loves company, right?
Yeah.
So at least we can commiserate with all of the Twitch streamers, the content creators, who are doing this gambling stuff, you know, they've had the hammer come down hard on them as well.
I think the biggest thing that has come out of this, because the Twitch gambling saga is nowhere near close to concluding.
It's only just started
yeah.
now that Twitch, and this is the headline, everybody, for anyone who missed that segue here. This is just the beginning, as Twitch has finally made some sort of decree in the saga that is Twitch gambling. And for those of you who may not be in the know for some reason, maybe this is the first time that you're tuning into this episode because it's the best, most amazing one with me and Weirdbeard. There are a bunch of high-level Twitch streamers who the majority of their content comes from doing gambling streams, playing slots and like roulette on stream, and they make money a few different ways. First of all, they're literally paid by the gambling companies to do it, but then they also have things such as referral codes, and the more people that click on these links or use these referral codes, they get money that way as well. Twitch has decided that they're going to crack down on gambling by saying that's not allowed anymore. Referral codes, referral links, you can't use those anymore, and it seems to be pretty split whether or not this actually does anything. Weirdbeard?
Yeah, and not only that, but Twitch also released a notice telling the different content creators that they have to clear out any content that promotes links. So that means that they have to go back and delete old videos, mm-hmm. they have to delete anything that, you know, a clip that could possibly exist that includes mention of a referral code or referral link, or if they have a video that has the like notification, like the graphic on screen at the bottom saying, use our, you know, referral link here. Yep. You know, they have less than a week to be able to go through and have everything up to date before getting any strikes. And I think it, like the natural step of the conclusion of this story is going to be actual laws that are passed, not Twitch. Twitch is not going to be the final arbiter of this, because like online gambling has exploded in the past, I don't know, 3-4 years maybe. And they're now, it's Twitch put out the statement, we will continue to monitor gambling related content and update our approach as needed. To give you time to remove this content from your channel, enforcement will be delayed until the 17th of August. You know, and it's really coming on the heels of like, it seems like there's been an internal divide amongst large content creators, people who are supportive of gambling and say, you know, it's gambling, it's whatever, it's usually the people doing it. And a lot of other large name, you know, Twitch streamers like Pokimane, Hassan, Asmongold, Moist Critical, all coming out and condemning people who are supporting or, you know, like saying gambling is okay on the platform.
I mean, do you think that you had mentioned that really what we're waiting for, what's really going to solve this is actual laws coming out?
Legislation, yes.
Okay, first of all, we're on the internet, right? So streamers are all over the world. So how are we going to get to that point in order to solve the problem, right? On top of the fact that Twitch has said in the past that if you are on its platform, that you need to be adhering to whatever laws are in your country of origin to begin with, right?
Yeah, but
we already know that's not true, because there are some streamers who use things such as VPNs
yes.
in order to get around things. So already laws are being broken and no one seems to care. So what makes you think that actual legislation being passed is going to do anything about this?
Because there's been a lot of complaints at the like state and local level of people complaining about, you know, kids being exposed to it or seeing the content and whatnot. I think it's going to be less about like Twitch getting legislated and more about the online gambling industry as a whole being legislated for how it's broadcast and disseminated. You know, like it's very, for in-person gambling, it is very strict about where you're allowed to even have a gambling machine.
Well, that's also a lot easier to enforce than
totally.
Things online.
Yeah, but I think it's just, it falls into the category of vice. You know what I mean? Like vices like drugs, alcohol, and gambling seem to always be the things that, you know, if there's a will, there's a way to find some type of legislation for it. I think that all it's going to take in, you know, true Twitch fashion is one big bad news story that's going to break. And the first time, because like everything's been internal or like people saying it. But the moment that there's a headline on like CNN or
one of these big streamers needs to get busted.
Yes.
In some way. And I hope it's XQC.
Or true.
Moving on to a bit more happier news. Now, I don't know that things have actually been fully confirmed yet. I believe that we are still within the sort of rumor stage here, but it does seem I'd say like 95% certain. It's pretty ironclad right now that Rockstar is actively developing remastered versions of what will probably be Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. And these will all be coming out on all platforms, Xbox, PlayStation, new, old gen, Switch, PC, Stadia, and mobile phones.
Well, I think the correct term is reportedly, which is always like the one.
I like allegedly.
Yeah, like it's moving from just rumors to enough people in the know about it, but it hasn't been officially
confirmed.
According
to Kotaku, they have multiple sources that have given them reliable info in the past that have all, you know, confirmed that these remakes, these or remasters are happening, and they're doing so in Unreal Engine.
How does this mean that GTA 6 is never coming? Like, do you think that this means that GTA 6 is more likely or less likely?
Grand Theft Auto is too much of a moneymaker. Now, I don't think that anyone could have foreseen the popularity and the success that Grand Theft Auto and even GTA Online role-playing could have brought. But I still don't think that you then just say, all right, well, now we're never making another Grand Theft Auto. I think that this is probably one of the reasons why it has taken so long for there to be a GTA 6. Not as much as, again, you know, Grand Theft Auto Online and all that still bringing in tons and tons of money, tons of success. But I do think that this is probably another small reason as well. But I do still think that we'll see Grand Theft Auto 6. Specifically, I think that maybe at this point, especially if the GTA Online sort of success story keeps on happening, because obviously whenever GTA 6 does come out, it will also have an online component as well. So I think what we're going to start seeing now is the only time that you're going to have to update the franchise with a brand new game is when you want to do graphic or tech upgrades. Because remember, Grand Theft Auto 5 actually came out on the PS3, didn't
it? Yeah.
Can you believe that? Like, every time I hear that, I have to do a double take. Like, two whole generations. So you have a Grand Theft Auto game that, even with the port that they're making for the Series X and S and the PlayStation 5, it's still not optimized to take full advantage of that technology.
I think it's also crazy that in these reports, it's being said that Rockstar's actively looking at a Red Dead Redemption master and possibly remastering any of its other properties, depending on how the sales of this remaster collection of GTA goes.
Look, that's where we're at. I mean, we've been here for a while in the gaming industry.
It's so painful.
Where remasters bring in money, and because of the success of Final Fantasy VII, the remake, which was more than just a remake.
Yeah, that's a rebuild.
That's a brand new game. You now have that to look at as well. So I think that, you know, it's weird looking back on it because they've been doing remakes and remasters forever, but I think that we're just past maybe the first age of like remakes and remasters. And there's still tons of games that people would love to see remasters of. You know, you sit over here and you shake your head, remasters, remakes.
Yeah.
But you would sell your house, your girlfriend, and your kid for a remake of Legend of the Dragoon, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you would. Don't even try to lie to us about that. So, whole trilogy of GTA remasters. You picking them up? What's your platform of choice?
PC if I pick them up.
Really?
Yeah. And
you don't want to try and play them on the Switch?
No.
The OLED model?
No, not at all. I don't think that they're made for the Switch. And I don't even know if Nintendo would allow like games like that. Do you think that they would allow a GTA on there?
Doom, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but that's not, you know, the stereotypical beating up hookers and taking their money type stuff.
Look, I think the days of Nintendo's seal of approval are gone. I think they want to make money just like everybody else, even more so. So yeah, I think that it'll be on Switch as well. I probably won't pick them up. They were great games, and looking at some of these you know, rumors here is that they are obviously improving the graphics, but they also want to keep the gameplay as close to the PS2 era as possible.
Yeah, as possible.
So don't look at, you know, the game being upgraded or updated in any way besides just the graphics. But a lot of people seem to be really happy about this. Finally, when it comes to people being really happy, Warzone coming in a little too late. After months and months of banning cheaters, months and months of players, you know, complaining about it, and recently, big streamers, the like of Nick Merckx and even Dr. Disrespect, actually uninstalled Warzone live on his stream. I don't know if he has, if he's walked that back yet or not. But it seems that Warzone is finally, Activision Blizzard has announced that they are finally working, or have been working, and are looking to release an anti-cheat program. Weird, but give us a download.
Well, let's take just the tweet that Raven Software put out. They said, "Today we banned over 50,000 accounts in Warzone. More importantly, we are listening and hard at work behind the scenes. We will have more info for you soon." Then coming after that, a reputable leaker, Tom Henderson, claimed Activision is creating a new anti-cheat system for the Call of Duty franchise. The same system will be implemented into Warzone. That's also going to be put into the actual games themselves. That's apparently been in development supposedly for around a year now. And it's just...
You don't seem relieved, happy, excited?
No, it's like back in February, Activision said that they're dedicating resources 24/7 to identify and combat cheats, including aimbots, wall hackers, trainers, stat hacks, texture hacks, leaderboard hacks, injectors, hex editors, and any other third-party software that is used to manipulate game data or memory. But like... hacking is not just a matter of getting rid of the hackers. It is a stain that once it's put on a game, it carries that weight. You know what I mean? Even if you clean it up, there's so many people that stuck with Warzone for so long that eventually gave up on it that I don't think that you're going to win them back at this point. Like, it is a meme to talk about how many cheaters are in Call of Duty. And it's been like that for years, and it's finally gotten to the point where I think it's like... tarnished the brand. Maybe
so.
That's
so,
just
do you
me.
Think that it's not worth it? That they shouldn't even bother?
I don't know. That's a hard gamble because they could still bring in new people. You know what I mean? People that never gave Warzone a chance from the rip because of just hearing how bad anti-cheat is and everything like that. But I don't know. Like, why? My question is, why now? Why is this the time? You know what I mean? Like, why would you wait until
some of your biggest content creators have left your platform?
And beyond that, too, the not being transparent about it. You know what I mean? If you've heard about this for a year now, about people screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming, why would nobody come out and be like, "Yo, guys, it's working. We're not there yet, but it's coming."
This isn't like when you have a new content patch that you want to really hype up and do it in the right way. Like, if people are asking for anti-cheat, something that every other serious competitive game has,
yeah,
that you should have had day one, first of all, why not just put it out there? Why not just let people know we're working on it?
Yeah, and I mean, another quote from one of the devs said, "We put our hearts into the content. We have 100 million players. It's been out a year. This is a huge stage and some of the best work we've ever done, and to have cheaters come in and ruin the game bothers us more than anyone. I know the security team are on top of it and they're continually going to make updates." I want to make this crystal clear. I do not fault the developers, you know, the people doing the work on these Call of Duty games. This is not a choice that they could just, they were like, "Oh, well, you know, we just don't want to do anti-cheat."
No, this is someone above them saying that's not what we have to worry about.
It's people that cut the check, the people that pay for that, because anti-cheat is not something that you do once and it just lives. You know what I mean? It is a constant, like, branch of the game and game series that will have to exist in, you know, foreverness. They have to pay for the servers to be able to run the cheat. They have to be able to pay the developers to update it for new cheats. They have to, you know what I mean? Like, they have to have all kinds of steps that go into it. So I understand it's a gargantuan task, but money solves a lot of things in the games industry, a lot of things. And if they had just gone, "Wow, this is really hurting us. Instead of it taking a year, we're just going to spend double the money and do it now to save ourselves the money in the future that we can get." To me, I would have said, "Whatever it takes, we've got 3 months, make it happen. What's the price tag that we got to pay on?"
Yeah, well, we'll see how, or whether if it ends up paying off. I mean, it's definitely taken a big hit, and that's just off of the back of the cheating in Call of Duty Warzone itself. That's not even taking into consideration the amount of people and money that they're losing over all of the Activision Blizzard scandals.
And this
going
is
on as well.
Also right on, actually last night, artwork and some in-game stuff leaked about Call of Duty Vanguard, the next Call of Duty you know, installment that's going to be happening. Most likely it's a return to World War II and the Western Front and whatnot. But still, like, if they're only installing and creating anti-cheat ahead of a launch of a new game, it reeks of just like, we don't really give a shit about this.
They probably still don't actually care about Warzone. It just happens to be in the next one, so yeah. Let's use this Band-Aid to patch up the other problem as well.
And that's what's disingenuous and hurts me the most about it.
That's fair enough, fair enough. Guys, that's going to be it for the first half of Checkpoint Daily. The Robbie and Weird Beard Show coming up next. Since, again, Mom and Dad ain't around, we're going to talk about Apex Legends. Not entirely about Apex Legends, we're just using that as a jumping board to talk about new heroes in competitive games launching overpowered. So stick around for that. We'll be right back.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Checkpoint Daily. There's no Norris Howard today. There is no Cadillac Callahan. It's just me and Weirdbeard holding down the fort. And something that we've been wanting to talk about, something we've actually been talking about quite a bit sort of behind the scenes.
Yeah, just not on a mic because we're not allowed to.
Just not on a mic because we're not allowed to because you know, somebody doesn't play Apex and somebody else has a tenuous relationship with it. Although, I will say, Norris did jump into a game with me and Zod over the weekend. We did okay. You know, we had some decent moments, but our losses were pretty like, oh, that probably shouldn't have happened. And
yeah.
I know Norris took it, you know, a little hard, you know, when you're getting into a competitive game, you know, right off, there's going to be a big sort of skill ceiling that you have to try and get to.
Can't be butthurt.
You know, pretty quick. But, you know, look, one of the first times he ever played with us, we did get a win and it wasn't a full carry. So he has potential.
There you go.
We got to keep encouraging him. So a few weeks ago, Season 10 launched for Apex Legend, and the new hero, the new legend, Seer, came out. And, you know, this is interesting because Apex Legends has had strong heroes before, mm-hmm. right? But at least in my experience, and I know that you played more, you know, Seasons 1 through 5 than I did. But I feel like this is the first time that a new hero has came out and felt oppressively overpowered.
Yeah, so let's, for anybody who's not familiar with Apex Legends, let's bring you into the world of what this character does, right? So Seer is a, like, essentially a hunter-type character.
He's a scout character.
Yeah, so he has, at any point, if you aim down the sight on a gun, you get what's like the baby monitor from Call of Duty. You're able to see heartbeats of people within a certain range around
75
you.
Meters.
And so, I mean, it's that's
for those of you who aren't, you know, living across the sea and know what that is because of the metric system, 75 meters is 250 feet. He can, that means just by aiming down sights anytime he wants within a football field's radius, he knows if you're there.
And it's, that's already pretty strong.
That alone, again, up to this point, Bloodhound was the go-to scout character because he could see up to, I think, 2 minutes if you've been somewhere, right? You don't need him anymore because you can just literally do it with Seer by right-clicking for a second. It's ridiculous.
And then that's just as passive, as tactical as he shoots out this, like, beanie boy. And it if it hits...
It's a beanie boy. Yeah, we're calling it that now.
If it hits a person, right, it does 10 damage, which isn't a lot. It's like chip damage. But it also interrupts any healing action. So if
any channeled action, such as revives or healing.
Yeah,
items.
So like if I'm hiding behind a box trying to be like, hey, you can't shoot me, I'm going to heal up real quick. This hits you and it stops you from healing. And not only that, but it allows...
It applies a 1.5 second silence that prevents you from using any of your abilities.
And it also marks you for your teammates and shows your health, like what you would see if you were watching competitive pro play, to where it shows how much armor, how much health, your like outline, like all
this
of it.
This is also, by the way, a 75 meter range.
Yes, and it's what's also crazy is, do you know how long once you get tagged, how long your
8 seconds.
8 seconds is forever, forever in this game because everybody just goes... There's the thing in, you know, like any competitive game that's a shooter where people go, oh, he's one shot. He's not really
he's not one shot.
This is like, you know for sure what the health is, and they'll push you if you're low.
Me and Zod were playing some duos where I was Seer and he was Bloodhound. And it's great because, you know, even for whatever small gaps in Seer's abilities or skills there is, you team him up with a Bloodhound, those are all gone. You meet a Seer Bloodhound duo in arenas, quit the game.
Yeah.
Quit the game because now they can go back and forth from round to round, just sort of alternating their abilities. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how now I'm a little remiss here, right? Because Seer is powerful easily, but I wonder how much of this is also because I think it's called power creep, right? Because again,
yes.
when you pair him up with Bloodhound, those two in particular are even more oppressive, right? But this whole idea of like him coming out overpowered, and we've already heard, I believe coming next week, he's getting some sort of nerfs, okay? But this has happened multiple times before in Overwatch, and I'm sure it's probably also happened in League of Legends or in Valorant as well. But when a new champion, when a new hero comes out, they're kind of OP,
mm-hmm.
right? When Moira first came out, you know, years and years ago, I remember Jeff Kaplan at BlizzCon coming out and saying that, like he straight up admitted to everyone on camera at BlizzCon, this character is OP as hell.
Yeah,
right?
And I mean, it's like, that's what it is. But I mean, this is, they've done it a ton in League of Legends where they talk about, we launch heroes, characters, whatever, you know, whatever term for whatever game it is, as very overpowered.
So you do think that this is a specific, deliberate, intentional thing that
yes.
they do?
Yes.
Why? Because people get so upset about it. Our friend Void Mystic, right, quit the game day one because of Seer and Rampage. Now, granted, he will find whatever reason he can to quit.
Yeah,
but
will.
I'm sure he's not the only person.
But I think they do it because for every couple of butthurt people that quit, you're going to have new people that come in that feel powerful, right?
Everybody wants to play the OP character.
Well, not only that, but like if it's easy to win with it, somebody who's new to the game will win more. You know what I mean? Like they'll find wins easy and they'll come in and be like, what, this game's supposed to be hard and I just win all the time? Sure, I'll play as much as I can. You know, and it's like, I mean, talking to like Imperial Hal, who's a professional for TSM playing Apex, he said recently, I feel like people are completely not understanding what needs to be nerfed on Seer. People are saying you only need to nerf the damage. I think I also said that, and I'm 100% wrong. How do you nerf a character when the base concept of the character is so strong? You have to completely change the character for it to be nerfed correctly. And I feel like that's what it is when you develop a game and you're starting, you know, at your kind of start path and whatnot, you're just trying to get things out the door, right? You want viable characters in general. But as time goes on, you realize all the extent, you know what I mean, of what you can do. Plus, you already have this infrastructure built in. They could have never released Seer in season one of Apex Legends. It wouldn't have happened. They just don't have the, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have the dev team, they didn't have the skills, they didn't have the, like, oh, I can shoot a beam and it shows the health and it does. They didn't have any of that, right? I really think that it's intentional because they have no limitations, right? I think that really good art and really good content comes from having a limitation of some sort that puts you in a box that allows you to, like, play with that box as cool as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, Octane as a character in Apex is very interesting. You know what I mean? Like, to be, oh, he's going to move fast and he's going to have a jump pad. Like, there's not many other characters in games that's similar to, but you could do that sort of out of the box. Now we're to the point where they don't have those limitations and constraints and they can go buck wild to where they just smoke a huge crack rock and they just go, fucking, what do we want to do? I can see the future.
So do you think the dev team's out of control then? You think they need to be reined in?
I just think it's power creep. I'm just saying, like, I think that's what it stems from, is from not having those abilities to say no because we can't do that. I think they've always had ideas like that, but they just haven't had the stuff.
I was always under the impression that power creep was more this stuff that as a dev team, you don't necessarily see yourself. Because obviously it doesn't matter how much money you have or how big your dev team is, you're not going to find all the combinations that a player base of millions of people find, right? Yeah. Like, for example, I think a perfect example in Apex is Revenant and Octane have been around for a long, long, long time.
Rev Train.
But we've only just now realized that people being able to use his ult and put the totem up to basically have death protection and then jump in onto people, you know, start fighting them, and then even if you get sent back, you get to use the jump pad again to jump in on them. We've only just now, after how many seasons, realized, oh, okay, that's a bit overpowered. We need to find a way to rein that is. And this doesn't even just go for Apex Legends or even competitive games. This happens in MMOs all the time, is that players will find interesting ways through the mechanics of the game to find, you know, better or more overpowered ways of playing than what the original design attempt was supposed to be, right?
Yeah,
and
well, I mean,
I get that. You can't plan for that and you just have to react to it as it happens. But I feel like putting out a character like Seer, who can do what Bloodhound does, but better, who technically can do what Revenant does. He can silence, he can interrupt things. He does what other characters do to a smaller extent, but then does his own stuff that nobody else can do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's, even on paper, that's overpowered, and that's not even taking into consideration combinations that players are going to find that you haven't even thought of.
Well, it's the same in, like, Valorant, right? Like, they have Killjoy was a controller that was added later on after the initial cast of, like, agents was put out and whatnot. And Killjoy's the objectively better controller. Just, like, so when she was introduced, anybody who played these other controllers like a Cypher, like a, you know, like a Viper, I don't know why you'd ever play a Viper, but if they played a Viper, just get relegated to the bench because they go, well, why would we ever do that? You know, why would we choose somebody who's objectively worse? I feel like that's an issue that comes out is because they, devs wouldn't want to put out a character that's like subpar and worse at an aspect than another character already is. So why would we put out a worse version of something and then just have it not get picked? And like, it's just like by proxy of wanting to have your work mean something, they're just going to put out a better version, you know, like they would never want it to be worse. I feel like,
I don't know. It's weird. It's something that I even saw in Overwatch. You know, I remember when Orisa first came out and, you know, her halt ability, people's like, so it's basically just like a mini Zarya ult. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this to come across as any sort of like dev hate or anything, cuz you know, being in that position, just a creative job in general is difficult to do, and I think it's hard, you know, developing characters, especially when you're trying to put them out, you know, one every 3 months on top of balancing other characters, to be like, all right, let's create something new that we haven't done
yet. Yeah, right.
Yet.
Just imagine something that you've never imagined before. Tell me about a color that hasn't been discovered
yet.
Yeah,
so, and look, to a certain point, I get it. Like you said, when you have an OP character, people want to play it. The last thing you want to do is release a character and then have people go, eh, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's what feeds the beast is like, I again, this is not a developer problem. It's not like these developers are failing in what they're doing. It's that that's what's necessitated because you can't, it like from a, if I was a boss of a developer team and they release a new character and I go, all right, how'd it go? And people go, nobody picks Seer. He was just a worse bloodhound. So, you know, like it, they'd go, so we've paid you guys how much money and how much time that we've wasted on something that nobody cares about because it's not as good as or better than the other thing.
Rampart.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, my last question for you then is, this isn't something that they're going to fix, right? This is, like you said, it's kind of a necessity of the job, I guess. So what happens next, right? It's been 2 weeks since Seer comes out. They're nerfing him next month, and obviously, you know, balancing him is going to be an ongoing process. So at what point does it not become too disruptive, right? Some people might argue that, first of all, he shouldn't come out overpowered. You should try to get him as balanced and fair as you can. Mm-hmm. So in your eyes, how long do they get to balance them before you think that it's too disruptive to the game?
I don't know. I don't think you can do that. You know what I mean? Like, because it's about like putting it in the pot. It's got to cook for a while and you can never tell how it's going to come out because it could be.
Is there anyone in Valorant right now that you think is still overpowered that they should have, you think, at least tried to rein in by now?
No, they've had more of a problem with all the characters being underpowered, you know, like there's too many that aren't good enough.
So like, it's not that the ones that people are using need to be nerfed. They need to look at reworking the other ones.
Correct. And I, but that's like, it's like, how do you, which side of the balance do you want to be on? You can either always be working from the bottom up or the top down. You got to pick one or the other. That's your design like philosophy and you got to live with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I think the bottom line is devs do a lot of crazy work and it's never just one thing. I do like Seer. He may end up being my new main. Again, the heartbeat monitor is just, it's too powerful right now. That definitely needs to be reined in. But to all the devs out there, you know, we do appreciate you. And I don't know. I guess that's about it. What do you think, Weirdbeard? Overall, you a fan of Seer, though?
I mean, you've got to be. He's cool.
You've got to be.
He's cool. Like, he's not a bad character in and of himself. It's a bad character, or not bad, frustrating character in the context of how everybody else exists in the ecosystem.
Well, all right, guys, that's going to be it for the Robbie Landis and Weird Beard Show. Thank you very much for tuning in to Checkpoint Daily. We'll catch you next week for Marvel Monday, where we'll be talking about Marvel's What If series with both Chad and Norris back in the house. We'll see you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.